everything is beginning to shift in the Easter season. Because so far in the Easter season, the focus has been on what Jesus accomplished. What Jesus accomplished in his passion and in his resurrection. And now everything in the liturgies and in the Easter season is shifting to what Jesus intends to accomplish through you, through his church. And the thing that shifts this is the Holy Spirit, to this focus on what Jesus desires to accomplish through you becoming a saint and the fruitfulness of his resurrection taking root in the world and growing through you, through his church, through saints. And it's the Holy Spirit that changes this. Everything begins to point to Pentecost. The Holy Spirit, who has been very active, but mostly hidden, at Pentecost is revealed in full glory. And the Holy Spirit is this love that is spoken about throughout these readings. God is love. The Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. And it's a very specific sort of love. Every time that love is used in these readings, it's the love which is agape. It's the love which entirely pours itself out. It's the love that is self-gift. And actually, even more precisely, what this love is its abandonment. So every time you hear it, to hear that word abandonment, the complete abandonment of myself to the other. So when Jesus says, remain in my love, he's saying, remain in my abandonment. What is his abandonment? It's the cross. This is the abandonment of Jesus both to the Father. Father, into your hands, I commend my spirit. I abandon myself entirely to you. And this is Jesus abandoning himself to us, entirely giving himself to us, holding nothing back. And so when he tells us, remain in my love, it's not just some sentimental, nice-sounding thing. Love one another. No, he's saying, remain in my abandonment. Remain in my cross. When everything in you wants to flee and leave it, remain in my abandonment. As I remain in the abandonment of my Father. This is the Trinity. The Father pours himself out to the Son, who receives the love of the Father and pours himself out to the Father. They abandon themselves to one another, and that love is the Holy Spirit, which we're meant to become alive in. Abandon yourself. And this is the only love, this is the only love that is fruitful. This is the fruitful love. There's a prayer that I love to give at times in confession as a penance, and it's called the Prayer of Abandonment. And it's by St. Charles de Foucauld, who was just named a saint almost exactly 2 years ago by Pope Francis. Charles de Foucauld, he was born in 1858 in France, and he had a very comfortable but dark childhood. His mom died after a miscarriage, and then his father died a few months after that from an illness. And so he was orphaned at the age of 6, and he was raised by his grandfather. And by the time he became a teenager, he had completely abandoned the faith altogether. And when he abandoned the faith, he said, I abandon the faith and I abandon myself to the world. He gave himself entirely to the world and to its pleasures and to the pursuit of what the world could give him. And so he entered the military seeking honor and glory. And one of the things that remained important, even in this time in his life and throughout his life, was friendship. And in the military, in the French cavalry, he became best friends with the Marquis de Mors. Do you recognize that name? the one who founded Medora. They were best friends and they were in the same barracks together. And they would talk often about faith, about the Catholic faith. The Marquis, although he was not a perfect Catholic by any means, he held on to the faith still, whereas Charles had abandoned it. And they would talk late into the night and argue about the faith. The Marquis, though, he wasn't long for the military because he was dishonorably discharged when the cavalry was to go into a mission in northern Africa, and he tried to sneak his mistress in to the barracks. They kicked him out. And after he had been dismissed from the military, in that time afterward, the Marquis invited him to come to North Dakota, to come to Dakota Territory, and enter into this business venture with him. But the Marquis, he had inherited a great wealth and decided instead that he was going to travel and explore, and that he was going to go to North Africa, where he wasn't able to serve with the military. And that's what he did. He went and he spent months in Morocco and Algeria, and he went deep into the Sahara Desert. But when he came back to France, something in him had shifted. And he would spend long hours, he said, just walking around Paris, thinking and wrestling with real questions of God. And he said one of the things that bothered him about the Catholic faith was that many of the Catholics he had known growing up, he said they were practical atheists. So many of the Catholics he knew growing up, yes, they said they believed in God and they believed all the stuff that the church believed, but he said nothing in their life would reveal that. You wouldn't look at anything in their life and see that their faith made any difference at all. Yeah, they'd even go to Mass on Sundays, but they wanted to get in and get out as quick as they could to get back to the important things in life. And so this was one of the things that deeply bothered him. But when he came back, his family, he said, received him as it was receiving the prodigal son, with love. And then he said, even though he didn't believe in any of the stuff of the faith, he would stop into churches because he said he found peace there. And he would sit and he said his one prayer that he was able to pray is, God, if you're real, allow me to know you. God, if you're real, allow me to know you. And one night after he had been wandering the streets and thinking deeply on these questions, he came across a church early in the morning that was open, and there was a priest in the confessional. It's the church, coincidentally, of St. Augustine. It's the name of it. And he went into the confessional with the intention of asking the priest a bunch of questions that he'd been mulling around in his mind. But after he had been in there a while, he made, for the first time since he was a small little boy, a confession. And the priest told him to stay a couple more hours, as soon it would be morning mass, and he'd be able to receive the Eucharist. And he said it was in that confession and in receiving Jesus in the Eucharist for the first time in years that he encountered the love of God. He encountered the real God. And he said that after he came to know that God was real and experience him, he said, I could live my life now for nothing else but for God. After he had encountered the real love of God, he abandoned himself entirely to God. And his whole life he gave to him. After this, for a number of years, he bounced around a little bit. He was a Trappist for a while. He went down to the Holy Land before settling in Nazareth, where he made himself a servant to the poor Clare sisters there. He was a servant to them in this town where Jesus grew up and where he was hidden for 30 years. It's the town of the hidden life of Jesus. And this Jesus, who had remained hidden from him for so much of his life, he fell into deep friendship with, he said. He said it was a deep friendship with Jesus that grew in his heart during this time. And it was during this time here as well that he felt the call from God in prayer to go to the people who were hidden in this world, whom he had met in Africa. And so he was ordained a priest, and he went to live as a hermit deep into the African Sahara Desert to the Tuareg people who lived there, right on the border of Algeria and Morocco. And these people, they were rough. They lived by the tribal law, the ancient tribal law, which you have to if you're living in the desert like that. What they did not live by was the law of love. But there was a verse from St. John the Cross, which Charles always kept close to him, which says that we're to show love where there is none. And if you show love where there is none, you will reap a harvest of love. And so he gave himself to these people in this desert area. He lived a life of love of God and love of neighbor. And he poured himself out in prayer. 11 hours of the day he spent in prayer. And the people there, as he poured himself out to them in love and he learned their language and he ministered to them as a place of hospitality, they grew in friendship with him. And he won their hearts. But his time there, from every human way of looking at it, was a complete failure. There was not a single person who joined his order that he wanted to create. Not one. Do you know how many converts he got of the people he was there for years praying for and ministering to? Not a single person. Not a single person converted. But yet he continued to pour himself out. And he prayed, asking God if he should leave and go somewhere else. But continually in his prayer, continually, God told him, remain, remain, remain in my love. Continue to abandon yourself to me and to these people. Remain. Do you know what comes right after this gospel in which we're told to remain in God's love and to love one another? The next verse is Jesus telling us that the world will hate you. Remain in my love and love one another, and the world will hate you, and they'll try and kill you. He remained there until 1916 on December 1st, after the first Great World War had broken forth. There was a neighboring tribe which heard that the Tuareg people had a Christian in their midst, whom they were very fond of. And so they came to drive this Christian out. And when they came, they took him and they killed him. They martyred him. And this man, as he lay upon the sand and his blood poured forth, he had finally abandoned himself entirely to God and to these people. And almost as soon as his blood began to pour forth, the sands began to shift. And the fruitfulness of his life is only revealed there. For if a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it produces much fruit. But if it doesn't, it just remains a grain of wheat. Jesus, he promises that if you remain in my love, you will bear fruit that will last. He does not say you will bear fruit that you will be able to see, but fruit that will last. Everyone, Jesus has given you the commandment to love. And it's a very specific love. It's the love which makes you a saint. Because it's the love where you abandon yourself entirely to God and to others. And this is the love which bears fruit. And this is the love through which God accomplishes his will in the world now. I want to close with St. Charles's prayer of abandonment that he would pray continually in his time within the desert, and to pray this for ourselves, and especially St. Charles, he's the patron saint of those people who are searching for God, but who God still remains hidden from. And so to pray for those people in our lives who are searching for God, but yet he remains hidden, and to pray for ourselves that we might abandon ourselves entirely to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I am ready for all. I accept all. Let only your will be done in me and in all your creatures. I wish no more than this, O Lord. Into your hands I commend my soul. I offer it to you with all the love of my heart, for I love you, Lord, and so need to give myself, to surrender myself into your hands without reserve and with boundless confidence, for you are my Father. Amen.